Oh, may the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. For the CTKers who were here last night, I'm going to read a verse again that just has really grabbed my heart. This is from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ, for by grace we have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in order that in the ages to come you might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. By grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not a result of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. The thing that really grabbed me about that scripture is I've read that scripture and quoted it a bunch of times over the years. The word workmanship is the word masterpiece. It's actually the word we get poem from. But it's the idea, and when the original word, even in secular Greek, was, is that it's something that the gods would do. And so it's a poem that God would write. And therefore the fact, it's not just a poem, it's the poem that God would write. And there's a song. That's the song that God sings. It's the Song of Songs. It's the Song of the Lamb, which is the Song of Solomon. But the poem that God has written is you and me as new creations. We're God's great masterpiece poem. I don't know what would be considered the greatest poem in the history of humanity, but the greatest poem that God's ever written, the great poem, is the new creation. And this time of year, particularly when I think about incarnational things, that when Jesus, when God took on human flesh, one of the things that God was doing was affirming our extraordinary calling, the nobility about humanity, that we were created to carry his image, enjoy his presence, and manifest his likeness. That's who what we were created for. And to contain, to enjoy, and manifest the likeness of God. And when the fall happened, there's a lot of theological discussion about what entered into man when he fell. The real issue is what left man when he fell. And what he left man was the very presence of God himself. And so we were without that which gives us our identity and that which propels us into any kind of true destiny. And so you have man groping after all kinds of different things to find their identity and fulfill their destiny. Fallen people do. But by the Lord coming, as I mentioned yesterday, God could have just come as a 32-and-a-half-year-old, 33-year-old, spent 6 months on the earth, clothed himself humanity, did the cross thing. But he was trying to help us understand he was redeeming the whole human experience. And that he was elevating, restoring the nobility and the glory that we were created for. Restoring to us a vision of the destiny that we were created to, the identity we were created to have, which can't be separated from his presence, and the destiny for which we're called to fulfill, which is to manifest his presence. And he says in that scripture that we were created, now obviously he's talking about as new creations, we were created in Christ Jesus. So one of the best analogies, and it may not be a good one, you think about this canvas. And on this canvas, you have this amazing portrait of Jesus. And the way God created us, we were dead in trespasses and sin, he simply painted you into the portrait of Christ, where you still have your individuality, but you're blended now with the very portrait of Christ. And now your identity is now totally absorbed into his identity. And his purpose, which is to glorify the Father, is now you participate in that purpose. If you think of Mona Lisa, the great painting, which probably would be the most famous painting, what it does more than anything else is just manifest, glorify the artist. What a great artist he was. And that's how the Lord did that. He didn't just touch you and say, okay, you're a new creation, and now I'm going to come live inside of you. He said, I'm going to place you in me, and by being in me and I in you, that's what's going to create you into the thing you're now created to be. The new creation that's in union with this poem that's Jesus. Or here is this poem, and it's a poem about Jesus. And you've just sort of been blended into the lines where your story's now that story, and you know, there's no separation, and therefore you're part of that, which gives you extraordinary significance, and it establishes who you are. Who you are, what you are, is totally dependent on who he is. There is no body with lesser identity. Identity and purpose has got nothing to do with how you look. It's got nothing to do with where you live. It's got nothing to do with what you belong to. It has nothing to do with how much you have. It's all about him. And the poorest person in the world and the wealthiest person in the world with the most influence and the person who seems to have the least amount of influence are called with the same identity and the same destiny. And to try to find identity and destiny anywhere else, even in ministry, is the devil's playground. It's destructive. I see it happen to Christians and ministers all the time. And somehow their identity and their destiny's in title or the size of their ministry or signs and wonders. No, you're now part of the lines. And so here is this. If somebody has a smartphone, if you have, I tell you what, Ron, or back in my bag, if you'll get my phone back there, it's in that little front thing, I wanted to read to you something. But listen to the scripture from, this is from 2 Corinthians chapter 3. You are a letter written in our hearts, known and read by all men, being manifested that you are a letter of Christ, cared for by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. He's not saying here that you're a letter written by Christ. He says you're a letter about Christ. You are an open letter of Christ. Does that make sense to you? God's great masterpiece, God's great poem is Jesus. And now your life is a part of that poem. And your purpose in life is for people to discover the magnificence and the masterpiece that Jesus is by reading your life, by watching your attitudes, by hearing the words that come out of your mouth. That's who you are. But I'm going to see if I can do this, if it'll work in here. It'll pull up a... This is from the Passion Translation of Ephesians 2:10. We have become his poetry, a totally recreated people that will fulfill the destiny he has given each of us because we are joined to Jesus, the Anointed One. Even before we were born, God planned in advance our destiny and the good works of telling his story. That's what we're called to fulfill. That's amazing. Created in Christ Jesus. Not just created by Christ Jesus, not just created for Christ Jesus, but we were created. Your new creation is because you were placed in his person, and now you're part of God's masterpiece. And your purpose in life is to be the poem about Jesus that the world gets to read. The very masterpiece of God. That's just amazing to me. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.